Tim McNally. Welcome to the Dine, Wine, and Spirit Show, NOLA Drinks Edition. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the NOLA Drinks Edition of the Dine, Wine, and Spirit Show. Brian Diaz here with you today, your host. Welcome to the unofficial start of the weekend here in the Crescent City. Thanks for tuning in today, friends. If you are listening here on the radio on a Thursday, I appreciate it. If you are listening, on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or in the indeterminate future on the podcast, I appreciate that as well. If you're ever interested in catching the show, if you're hearing it live and you want to subscribe to the podcast, you can go to noladrinks.com for that. You can find it on iTunes, Google Play Music, and TuneIn Radio. Have a good show for you today, folks. Coming up here after this little segment, when we take care of a little bit of housekeeping and some announcements in business like we like to take care of, we are going to be joined by Richard Alexander Pomez from Ghost Tequila. It is a New Orleans-owned tequila producer that is an interesting mix, I'll say, of ghost peppers and 100% agave tequila. So we're going to get into talking a little bit about that, a little bit about Richard's background, and we're going to make some drinks, friends, because that's what we do here on this show. As a matter of fact, Richard is already here. We've turned the studio into a wet bar, which we like to do, as you know, as well, and he's whipping stuff up, so we're going to get into that. And then in the second hour of the show, Rick Olivier, known as Rico, as well as Rob Savoy, who are the two band leaders of the fantabulous New Orleans band, the Creole String Beans, will be in the studio. We're doing our new segment, new-ish segment, called Soul Skillet, and that is brought to you by our good friends at Louisiana Music Factory, the finest record store on the planet, as far as I'm concerned, 421 Frenchman Street. And what we do, we bring in from time to time, once a month or thereabouts, once every 3 weeks, something along those lines, we bring in a local musician or musicians, and these people always, we talk about the music and all that stuff, but these people always have, in this case, hard to imagine here in New Orleans, a little bit of sarcasm for you there, folks, connection to drink and food. And these guys are no exception to that. Both Rico and Rob are good cooks, and a lot of the imagery, lyrics, things like that that they use in their music connect in reference to food and drink culture here in New Orleans. So they will be joining us. They have a great new album out. It's called Golden Crown. So we're going to play little tidbits of music from that and talk to them about the band and all of that other good stuff. So stay tuned. It's going to be a lot of fun today. Friends, obviously, as we know, what happened Tuesday here in the area in New Orleans, if you're listening outside the area, you're probably aware as well that we were affected by a raft, I will use that word, of tornadoes. Actually, the amount of tornadic activity that we experienced here on Tuesday was relatively unprecedented. And a fair bit of damage was done in certain areas, in particular to our friends and neighbors in the New Orleans East neighborhood. So I wanted to announce a couple things there. Quite a bit. It was really fortunate that there were not more injuries and or fatalities at all in this case than there was, frankly, because it happened during the day. A lot of people, of course, were at work or at school. Still, several miraculous is what I'm trying to say, stories of people actually not getting injured, being able to get out. When you look at the level of destruction in New Orleans East, in particular, other areas like Killian, a little bit in Madisonville, Ponchatoula were also affected. But it was something, and our friends in New Orleans East need a lot of help. One of the things that we know here in New Orleans is that we pull together and we help out our friends and our neighbors. I know a lot of friends in the service industry, bartenders, restaurant community are also terrific at this. People helped us during Katrina. We helped our neighbors up in the Baton Rouge, Lafayette area, all of that during the flooding last year, and this is no exception, friends. So a couple things. LaToya Cantrell's office, the city councilwoman here in New Orleans, that's the District B Council office, has pulled together a donation center. It's the District B Council office, Broadmoor Improvement Association, and that is located at 3900 General Taylor Street. Wednesday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., you can drop off items that people need. This includes clean clothes, shoes, socks, children's clothes, baby clothes, diapers, new toiletries, linens, towels, new underwear. Thank you, new underwear. Cleaning supplies and detergent, flashlights, durable cleanup gloves, contractor trash bags. Also, plastic tarps are needed. Non-perishable bulk food, please, is also needed. Feminine hygiene products. Also, pets are in need in this situation as well. Pet food and pet shampoo can also be used, again, between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m., 3900 General Taylor Street. You can drop stuff off there. They are also accepting monetary donations if you don't have goods or can't do that. You can also call 504-249-5130 to find out a little bit more about that. But go please help out our friends and neighbors in New Orleans East. Also, this evening, 5 o'clock over at Pearl Wine Company, 3700 Orleans Avenue. They are doing their typical Thursday tasting. It's a Valentine's Day themed tasting, so they're going to do pink wine. And of course, this doesn't mean the sweet stuff. These are going to be dry rosés, and they're going to pair it with chocolate. And I'm sure there's an interesting selection of chocolates that go great with rosés, friends. And in this case, that's what's going to happen. It's a really nice lineup. They got a couple sparkling rosés and a few others. It is a free tasting, but they are all the wines in the tasting are on sale for 10%, and a portion of the proceeds will be made available to help those in need in the area that were affected by the tornadoes. And then I will also point you in the direction of Second Harvest Food Bank, the wonderful organization here in New Orleans that is also fundraising. I know they had a telethon yesterday going on. That is no-hunger.org. They are accepting donations as well and helping feed people and those in need in this particular situation. So again, Second Harvest Food Bank, a wonderful organization. So check them out, no-hunger.org. So let's help out all of our friends. Also, friends, we are in the middle of carnival season. I think we know that here in New Orleans. And coming up this weekend, one of my very favorite parades, Saturday, is Crew de Vue. Now, this is one of those particular parades that I'll say it's an adult parade. This is not one to bring the kiddos out to. It is a very irreverent parade. The theme this year is the Crass Menagerie. There you go. And here what they say is that the divergent realities will come together in a crass, cosmic, and completely surreal performance when the critters, twitters, porn fritters, and oh baby baby babysitters of Crew de Vue will take to the streets of the Marigny, the French Quarter, and all the way down here, up here, I should say, in the CBD. The parade starts at 6:30 at Decatur and Mandeville Streets, up there in the Bywater, basically, like Marigny, I mean, kind of Bywater. And it will roll its way up through the Quarter, goes down... Well, basically goes Royal, comes across Frenchman Street. That is a great place to see it, actually. Then up Decatur, cuts over on St. Philip, goes up Royal, Bienville, then Dauphine, Baronne, and ends on Lafayette and O'Keefe. That's a lot of fun. 6:30 p.m., that parade typically does not roll on time. But, you know, just little, it's kind of the way it goes with most of the parades. But this one in particular tends to be a little bit late. But if you get out to the route at 6:30, that is a lot of fun. Another note, a really cool thing going on. Our friends there at the Historic New Orleans Collection, and I'll try and get to some other stuff going on there. They are located at 533 Royal Street, and they have a really neat, I think they've done this for a while, exhibition, and it's on Rites, Rituals, and Revelry, the History of Mardi Gras in New Orleans. If you're not familiar with the Historic New Orleans Collection, if you live here, shame on you, you should be. Again, 533 Royal Street, that is the probably preeminent collection of culture, of pieces of culture in New Orleans. It's a fantastic place. The main exhibit halls and office there, store and things like that are located, as I said, on 533 Royal, but they actually have an expansive collection in other buildings in the French Quarter and elsewhere, I believe, where they have a library that you can use and these other things. So they have a huge collection of Mardi Gras memorabilia dating back decades. And a lot of this stuff is, you know, pulled out during this time of year at the Royal Street location where you can go through, and it's a self-guided tour. It's $5 or it's free for members of the Historic Collection. And let's see, their hours are Tuesday through Saturday, 9:30 to 4:30, and Sunday, 10:30 to 4:30. You can call 504-523-4662 for more information. Again, 504-523-4662. And you can also check out the Historic New Orleans Collection online. But that's going to be a really neat stuff. I guess they do, you can go check this out. I believe they do have some guided docent tours as well. This runs until February 24th, friends. And then I believe they're actually closed. Yes, they are. They're closed from Saturday, February 25th through Mardi Gras Day on Tuesday, February 28th. So check that out. A little bit of probably the best swath of Mardi Gras history and culture that you're going to be able to see in one place there at the Historic New Orleans Collection. Friends, we're going to take a little break here on the NOLA Drink Show. We're going to be right back with some Ghost Tequila. Come on back, little Professor Longhair for you.
Hi, I'm Dickie Brennan, and I'd like to invite you to our new Black Duck Bar located on the second floor of Palace Cafe. Named after the Prohibition's infamous rum runner, the Black Duck features over 120 rums as well as an extensive tequila collection. In addition, acclaimed master French chef Rene Baggio heads up the Small Plates and Charcuterie Kitchen. Join us for happy hour Monday through Friday from 4 to 7 p.m. with half-price small plates, local draft beer, and tap wine.
Oregon wines are taking over New Orleans. The reason? They're delicious. Next time you're shopping for wine, grab a bottle of Sass Wine. Located in the South Salem Hills of Oregon's Willamette Valley, Sass Wine produces small amounts of handcrafted, high-quality wines that include Pinot Noir, Pinot Blanc, Pinot Gris, Chardonnay, Riesling, Sauvignon Blanc, and Rosé of Syrah. A perfect balance of full fruit with fine, supple tannins and firm acidity is what makes truly great wines, and you'll find that in every bottle of Sass Wine you drink.
Hi, New Orleans. It's Laura from Sobu, and I'm here with Chef Juan Carlos.
Sobu's got happier hour. It's 3 to 6 from 3 to 6.
It's bar bars, sips, and snacks, all for $3 to $6 from 3 to 6 p.m. every day.
Laura's got something to please everyone at the bar for happier hour, all for 3 to 6 here at Sobu.
And we know you'll want to try a smoky pulled pork taco or any of the other delicious snacks on our happier hour menu.
Sobu's happier hour every day from 3 to 6, 310 Charter Street in the quarter.
Complimentary parking next door at the W Hotel.
Come to beach, the beach. Yellow Pocahontas, we're the night wall hunters, and we don't bow down on nobody's ground. But I love to hear you call us Indian Ring.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the NOLA Drink Show. Brian Diaz here with you, your host. Happy Thursday, everybody. Happy Carnival. Little My Indian Red by Dr. John. Friends, thanks for tuning in today here on the show. As I mentioned before, pleased to be kicking things off here after our raft of announcements. We are with Richard Alexander Pomez from Ghost Tequila, a New Orleans-owned brand, I think it's fair to say. Richard, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. Yeah, get right up there to that microphone.
Appreciate it. Am I close enough?
Yeah, that'll work.
All right.
That'll work. If you want to pull it closer towards you and turn this way, whatever's comfortable.
Testing. Yeah. All right. Like that. There we go.
There you go. Perfect.
This
there
is
you
fun
go.
For people at home, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Me just trying to get comfortable with the mic. Yeah.
That's it.
Really exciting stuff.
We're not doing a whole lot of play-by-play here, and you'll be surprised, man, because what ends up happening, we get a lot of people that will come in, and they're talking about something, and they'll pull out a brochure.
Right.
And I'm like, you radio.
Can't see that.
So here we go. But cool, Rich, thanks for joining us. So you and I were just chatting during the break. So you're from here. You grew up in the New Orleans area.
Yeah.
New Orleans
East,
you said, right?
Mostly. Well, yeah, New Orleans East and then in Metairie. Spent most of my childhood in Metairie.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And then and you have a business partner where we were talking about, and we have plenty of time to get into all this. So
yeah.
Ghost Tequila is the brand, and we'll talk about that in a second. But you mentioned that you in a couple previous iterations of your life, so you did some acting and some film and television.
Yeah, I actually grew up doing a lot of theater here in New Orleans, which led to some TV, some film, a lot of stuff that no one has ever heard of or seen. But I went to NOCA here for musical theater, UNO for theater. So very random for me to end up in the liquor business. Most of my background was in theater performing arts and somehow kind of stumbled into the liquor, wine, and spirits business.
Well, how did that happen?
So I was kind of a starving artist, waiting tables, doing theater. A buddy of mine from high school started a nonprofit independent theater company here in New Orleans called the NOLA Project, and still alive today, 11-year-old company. We do shows all around town. We're actually doing A Few Good Men this weekend.
Oh, so you're still doing the stuff.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Oh, cool.
So
okay, awesome.
I'm the marketing director for that company in the little spare time that I have. So like I said, we're doing a show this weekend at Delgado. And so I became the marketing director for that company. When the company started, we all kind of just picked jobs besides being actors. Somebody said, well, I'll learn technical theater, I'll learn marketing, I'll learn business, because we were a bunch of broke, starving artists. So I said, I'll learn marketing. Kind of fell in love with marketing, started marketing nightclubs and bars and restaurants and blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
And then realized, oh, cool, I have a strong background in service industry and speaking to people and understand the liquor business. And that's what led me to working for
Fireball. Yeah, so you work for Fireball. Well, before we go, so do you still perform at all?
I do.
From time to time,
yeah. I mean, I went from doing 5 shows a year to 1 show a year because, you know, you can't be in rehearsals every night if you're out promoting liquor.
Hawking the wares.
It's tough.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But I try to keep 1 foot in the theater business.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. That's neat. So you mentioned, so then as you transformed from that or transitioned, or you didn't, well, you're still doing it. So you stepped into another world. And so you, how did you start working for Fireball then?
Oh man. You know, like I'm saying, I had all this weird, amalgamation of backgrounds with service industry and theater and started doing social media in the early days of social media marketing and got contacted by, somebody found me on Twitter who was like, hey, we're relaunching this brand. it used to be Dr. McGillicuddy's, and they had relaunched as Fireball Whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
And they contacted me and they said, hey, we're looking for somebody who happens to have all the skills that you have. Do you want to come help us out manage this brand? And I said, yeah, sure. My job started out as kind of a social media manager. And as the brand got bigger and bigger, my role expanded. By the end of it, I was the national brand ambassador. I was the face of the brand, and I spent a lot of time bar hopping around the country, setting up events, planning promotional stuff. I mean, you name it. I went from a very small role to a much bigger role. And of course, there was a team. You know, I wasn't the only one, but I started out as a one-man show, and by the time I left, it was a massive team, which was very exciting.
I bet with Fireball. And I mean, I always think, you know, when I always love the term too, a brand ambassador, because it sounds like such a cool job, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're the diplomat of the brand. I've got my diplomatic papers and a bottle.
Right, exactly, exactly. You know, and it's fun. I mean, it's definitely a young man's game, but it's very exciting when you can handle that kind of work. It's a lot of fun. It's, for me, it's 90% of it is talking to people. You know, in my experience, the product has very little to do with it. It's mm-hmm. it's schmoozing, it's creating exciting, memorable moments for people, and getting to know people and finding out where they're from. And it's all relationship building.
Yeah, absolutely. Like anything. And I know that brand has done incredibly well and continues to do incredibly well.
It is. It's doing very well.
And I'm drawing a blank on who. I know the young woman who is actually, I think she's still the Louisiana brand ambassador for Fireball. And do you know who it is? I'm drawing a blank on who that is.
It's been a couple of years since I left, and there's a lot of new people, which is fantastic to see it grow. But unfortunately, I don't know anybody there anymore.
So now you're doing Ghost Tequila, which is, as we were talking about, and we'll get into the product. Let's talk a little bit more about the background here during this segment. So it's a tequila. It's 100% agave tequila.
Yep.
And then ghost peppers, which are a spicy mm-hmm. pepper, Indian pepper, I believe, right?
Yes, East India.
From East India. How did you get into that then? What prompted you to get into doing your own thing and tequila with hot peppers and
So there's another thing that happened between Fireball and Ghost. A buddy of mine from New Orleans and I started a branding and marketing agency here in New Orleans called Rap Jab, R-A-P-J-A-B. I know, I got a weird background. But after leaving Fireball, I said, well, let's start an ad agency. And we had a lot of local New Orleans mom and pop clients all the way up to TGI Fridays was one of our biggest clients. So that was very exciting for a small New Orleans based ad agency.
Mm-hmm.
About 2 years into doing that, or maybe a year or so, Bloomberg Business Magazine wrote this great piece about Fireball, and I was very lucky enough to have my name all throughout it. You can look it up online. It was an article about the success of Fireball, and it's got my name all over it, which is very exciting. That led to a flood of incoming business for us because people would Google my name and find my ad agency, yada, yada, yada. I got this call from this guy in Boston who was a bartender at a tequila bar. And he said, hey, man, sorry to bother you, but I got this idea for a tequila brand. Do you want to be a partner in this business?
Oh, wow. Okay.
I thought this guy was just, making some stuff up. And I was like, yeah, sure, whatever, man. He flew me up to Boston, pitched me on this idea, and I said, I'm in. It was very exciting. A lot of people between Fireball and Ghost had pitched me a lot of wacky liquor ideas, and said, we want you to join the team or we want you to be a part owner. Because of my background with Fireball, a lot of people were like, just pitch me weird stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first one that I said, I think this could actually be something. So now I'm my business partner, Chris Moran. He lives in Boston. He's a guy who came up with this idea. And, he made this thing as to basically just be a shot he was selling at this tequila bar in Boston. And what he realized that they were just flying through it. And other bars started mimicking it and copying it. And so basically he said, well, how do we do this for real? And he said, well, I know how to make it, but I need somebody who knows how to sell it. He called me. He Googled my name, found the Bloomberg article, and basically just cold called me.
That's amazing. So,
random and exciting.
So that's happened to you a couple times, man. So that's really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So where do you guys actually make the tequila?
We make it in Tequila, Mexico, which is in the Jalisco region of Mexico. You know, in order to be 100% blue agave, you have to make it down there. And there's a couple different regions where you have to make tequila. We shopped around. We went down to Mexico and looked at a bunch of different distilleries, worked and found this distillery that we really liked, small family-owned distillery. And, of course we don't make it ourselves. A lot of people ask that question, but we believe in being very transparent. We own the recipe, mm-hmm. but we go down there and we work with some people who've been doing it for a long time. And they're wonderful. They're really great people to work with. And one of the guy who's been there making tequila for 50 years, he was like, look, I've made all kinds of tequila. I've tasted all kinds of tequila. And he was like, I think this is the first time, this guy's been doing this for 50 years. He's like, this is the first one I think has the potential to be an internationally successful brand. He's like, this is the most unique thing I've ever worked on, which kind of nice to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
So let's do this, Richard. We're going to take our little bottom of the hour break here in just a second, and we're going to come back. We're going to taste a little bit of the Ghost Tequila, and then we'll talk a little bit more about how it's made, and we're going to do a shot. Okay, that's what we do here on the NOLA Drink Show. And then we're going to do a couple cocktails, give you some ideas of what you can do with it. Probably talk a little bit about where you can find it here in New Orleans and beyond. So friends, coming back, we're chatting with Richard Alexander Pomez of Ghost Tequila here on the NOLA Drink Show. Come on back.
Did you know that there's a vineyard and winery making quality table wines just 1 hour north of New Orleans? At Pontchartrain Vineyards, we produce award-winning wines from our 15-acre vineyard, as well as premium wine grapes sourced from the West Coast. Try our light, crisp, Louisiana-grown Blanc du Bois, or have a glass of Chardonnay, Zinfandel, or our Cab Syrah blend made right here in Louisiana. There's something for everyone at Pontchartrain Vineyards. For more information, go to PontchartrainVineyards.com.
The French Market is a place where history is made fresh daily. From the historic Upper Pontalba building on Jackson Square to the ever-evolving Farmers Market, our six-block district celebrates New Orleans food, music, and culture through events, festivals, walking tours, health and fitness classes, and also children's workshops at the New Orleans Jazz Park. Visit our calendar of events at www.frenchmarket.org. The French Market. Making history fun since 1791.
It's carnival time. Are you ready for parades, revelry, and the ultimate cocktail experience? Victory is located in the heart of downtown New Orleans. We have a variety of spirits, a talented team of bartenders, and great gourmet small plates. Our mission is to preserve an era when cocktails were made with artistry and pride. Grab your friends and come enjoy this holiday. Give us a call to book your next private event. 504-522-8664, 339 Barone Street.
Are you looking for the best buns? Well, we have them at Bayou Burger in the Quarter. Wait till you bite into one of our acclaimed burgers like the Cowboy Burger, Thai Burger Shrimp Burger, the world-famous Gator Burger, or you can build your own with endless combinations. It's all fresh meat, never ever frozen. Everywhere you look, there's big screen TVs where you'll never miss a minute of the action. Boasting the largest balcony dining in the French Quarter, you can watch all the action pass you by on the street. Find the best burgers in action at Bayou Burger. 501 Bourbon at St. Louis for the best buns on bourbon. It's Bayou Burger, baby.
Hi, this is Kevin Richards with New Orleans' own Sazerac Company, makers of Sazerac Rye Whiskey. In case you haven't noticed, rye whiskey is hot, flying off store shelves and dominating the bar scene in New Orleans and around the country. Rye's spicy and assertive character is drawing in those looking for whiskey with a bite, but that equally pairs well with cocktails. Enjoy it in cocktails like the Old Fashioned or Manhattan, or simply savor it on the rocks. Sazerac Rye Whiskey, the way New Orleans does whiskey.
This is Christopher Icaza, General Manager of Broussard's Restaurant, 819 Conti Street in the beautiful Vaucouleurs. We encourage you to come join us this fall and experience the renovation of one of the French Quarter's Grand Dames. Join us in our beautifully renovated Napoleon Dining Room. Come see our friend Paul Gustings at the beautiful Empire Bar. Experience one of the French Quarter's loveliest courtyards. That's Broussard's Restaurant, 819 Conti Street. Open 7 nights a week and every Sunday for brunch.
Hello, this is Ron Bartholomew, and to my great city of New Orleans, I'd like to introduce to you Touch Vodka. This artisan handcrafted ultra-premium vodka is uniquely distilled from Florida's finest wildflower honey and American grain. Touch also produces key lime, Valencia orange, and ruby red grapefruit selections that are infused with natural oils of locally sourced fruit, which results in a unique 80-proof vodka with no sugar added or coloring. Touch is now available at Doranax, Cello's, and the Corporation Grill and Bar, and many other locations across Louisiana. This holiday season, sit back and relax and enjoy Touch Vodka.
Hey, New Orleans, Jack Jelenko here, local wine guy. If you're listening to this show, you love good food and good wine. And a great wine with our plentiful fresh Gulf seafood is the Domaine St. Rose Coquille Blanc, a crisp, balanced white blend from the south of France. Whether it's with fresh oysters, crab, redfish, or shrimp, this Domaine St. Rose Coquille Blanc will not disappoint. And it's a great value at around $14. Domaine St. Rose Coquille Blanc. Cheers!
All right, everybody, welcome back to the NOLA Drink Show. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO 990 AM New Orleans. Little carnival time, Al Johnson. Yes, it is carnival time here, friends. Music gets me in the mood, always good stuff. Al Johnson still comes around and plays. He's, you know, up there in age, but he gets out there and plays a little bit. Usually this time of year, you'll catch him once or twice. Absolutely worth seeing Al Carnival Time Johnson, so check that out. Friends, we are chatting with Richard here from Ghost Tequila. Thanks for being here, man.
Thanks for having me. Yeah,
absolutely,
fun.
Absolutely, man. Cool. So we were talking a little bit before the break. We got your backstory, a little bit of the brand backstory, and we were just kind of getting into how it's made. So you guys, obviously, it is tequila. You make it in Jalisco.
Yep.
Like we talked about. And then now, do you, when you guys, so let's talk about the ghost pepper thing. So it's an East Indian pepper, as you said, pretty fiery pepper. Mm-hmm. Where do you guys get that then? How does that come into the picture?
So, yeah, this is a funny story. So it's, like I said, it's 100% pure agave tequila infused with ghost peppers. One of the unique things that we tried to do, when you try things that people infuse with peppers at bars, or when you try a lot of the big liquor companies the spicy stuff, you often end up tasting the pepper, which has a very vegetal flavor. So to me, it tastes like you're drinking salad, or the pepper itself, or the vegetable.
Well, you get that pyrazine note from bell pepper.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a very earthy flavor, and that's wonderful, especially if you're putting it like in a Bloody Maria or something. That's great. But we went down to Tequila Mexico and tried 100 different variations of tequila to figure out how we wanted to make ours. And I for some reason, I just had this terrible knee-jerk reaction to those vegetal flavors. So we decided really early on, we didn't want to put actual peppers in the tequila because we didn't like that earthy vegetal flavor. So we said, how do we get a clean, smooth-tasting tequila that has the heat of the pepper without the actual pepper in it? So this is kind of cool. We work with an MIT chemist based out of Boston who owns a small craft distillery up there. We paid him just kind of as a contractor, and we said, how do we do this? How do we do this, man? Mm-hmm. And he figured out a way to kind of reverse engineer a ghost pepper and extract the capsaicin from it.
Yeah.
And then we infuse the capsaicin into the tequila after it's made. And so
it's not co-fermented then. It's truly infused then.
Correct.
After.
Okay. Yes, exactly. So, you know, to me, it's like, it's something that nobody else has done. It's very unique. There's a lot of other pepper things out there. But for us, we really wanted the heat without that peppery, you know, kind of aftertaste. Mm-hmm. So we went to extreme lengths to try and figure out how to do that, back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And you'll notice there's also some other natural fruit flavors in there when you try it. The ghost pepper is definitely the main star of the show, but we also wanted to give it a little bit of sweetness to kind of round out that flavor, you know, especially because I like to say we're a tequila for the non-tequila drinker. Everybody has a terrible college or spring break story where they had too much tequila. And then as an adult, they get that nasty, like, flavor.
Now, let me tell you, Richard, I mentioned this to you during the break. I went to undergraduate in San Diego, which meant that I spent copious amounts of time in Tijuana, which meant that I drank lots and lots of really bad tequila. I won't even name brands, but they were a dollar a shot. So I had lots of bad experiences. No, but it didn't deter me. So I just want to get that for the record that I powered through.
Good.
Yes, but there is that. Thank you. Thank you. There certainly is at those bad moments with certain liquors. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. So you've come from then a perspective of trying to make it very, very clean, but with a spice. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned to me before we went on the air, and I think you said this on the air, that, you know, the concept was originally kind of starting out as a shot and a beer kind of thing.
Yeah. So from a marketing perspective, I firmly believe that if you put a liquor in a cocktail, people are much more likely to remember the cocktail than they are the product itself, especially if you go to a high-end craft cocktail bar. It's something I've seen a lot. And so, you know, we said, well, let's try this thing out as a shot. And for me, I'm not a big tequila fan. My business partner is. And so that's why a big part of this is, you know, when I signed on to this project, I said, I want to make a tequila that I can enjoy as a non-tequila drinker. And so, you know, and when you guys try it, when everybody tries it at home, hopefully they will understand what I'm talking about. It's a tequila, but it's a very non-tequila flavored tequila. And so, you know, so again, we tried it. We wanted to push it onto the market as a shot and say, try it as a shot so you can understand what it tastes like. You'll understand the flavor profile immediately. But then once we got you hooked, now try it in a spicy margarita, a Bloody Maria, a Mexican Mule.
The first shot's free, kid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Then after that, you're on your own.
Well, let's do this, Richard. Let's try it since we mentioned
gentlemen.
It. Thank you.
You want one? Okay.
my lovely wife here, Sylvia, is here helping out BJ working the board as he always. So Sylvia said no, BJ said yes. So cheers, BJ. We're going to have a shot. You keep talking, Richard, because it's radio.
Sure, sounds good. All yeah. Right. Oh, you guys can't see this at home? Oh, well, mm-hmm. Okay. So yeah, when you knock it back, you'll understand what I'm talking about. You'll taste a little, like just a little bit of sweetness up front. That spice mm-hmm. will linger on the back end. Mm-hmm. And so I hope you can understand what I'm talking about. But you get it's tequila, but it's really not necessarily a traditional tequila. And we have gotten some flack for that from purists, from aficionados, which I'm totally cool with. For me, I wanted to make a tequila for quote-unquote everyone. I wanted to make a tequila for the non-tequila drinker, for people who want a spicy margarita. I'm okay if we get a couple of purists saying I don't like it, but I wanted to invite the masses back to tequila, the people who fell out of love with it or broke up with tequila because they had a terrible spring break
story. It's interesting because, like you said, there is a little bit of sweetness up front. The pepper really comes through on the finish,
yeah,
as you were saying, primarily as well, and it lingers. And I get what you're sort of saying too about the traditionals. This is not, and I don't mean this in any sort of offense.
Sure.
It's not a sipping tequila.
Sure.
So this isn't something that you're necessarily going to want to pour over rocks per se. If that's what you're looking for, it's a different thing, which is what I think you're saying.
Exactly. And you know, and to start throwing out some marketing buzzwords, we could talk about millennials. You know what I mean? And the target we're going after is we're going after that environment and that culture of. What are you celebrating tonight? You're celebrating a birthday, a promotion, a divorce, whatever it is. Let's do shots, you know, or let's go out and all the girls are having spicy margaritas. We didn't create this product for the guy who's going to sit back in his armchair by the fire and sip a nice tequila. You know, for me, it's all about let's hit the streets, let's pound the pavement, let's bar hop, and let's do some shots and drink some beers or spicy margaritas.
Yeah.
I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes all the sense in the world. And so, I think that's the point that I want to emphasize if that's what you're looking for, that's not what this is and not what it's meant to be.
Right. Now, having said that, my business partner, of course, he's the one who came up with the idea, so take it with a grain of salt. He sips it, you know? And he's a tequila guy, and we have run into other people who like to sip it, on the rocks. So to each his own. We've seen people do all kinds of weird stuff with it.
Yeah, I bet. And yeah. It's very nice. I'm intrigued by what we're talking about here a little bit with the two that we'll get into after the break here in a couple minutes is some of the cocktails that we can do with this. Sort of the obvious one. So you said the Bloody Maria, which is, of course, a Bloody Mary using mm-hmm. tequila
right.
typically. I think what pops into my head, too, is that certain drinks that you would use a sweet component, like I could see a sweet vermouth. So
mm-hmm, yeah.
I'm a big fan of the Mezcal Negroni, mm-hmm. actually. And I could see this being where maybe you would want to do like a split base with this being
yeah.
part this and then say part tequila or part mezcal.
Mm-hmm.
So this brings some heat to the table. And then that, a bit of sweetness from a sweet vermouth and a Negroni is going to cut really nicely.
We've seen some of that stuff done before. One of the most popular cocktails we get on a lot of restaurant bar menus is a Ghost Negroni,
okay.
which is very popular. Unfortunately, I didn't bring the ingredients for that, but
that's all right. We can describe it. So we more or less just did. So
yeah,
I think that's really neat because again, it would kind of go with the mezcal thing, and then again, what we're talking about here with the heat from the ghost pepper, that a little bit of sweetness is going to cut nicely across this. So a margarita is going to be a real natural fit here, of course, too, because then we're going to talk about using either like agave syrup or simple syrup or sugar mm-hmm. in there is going to go really well too. So let's do this. We're going to take a little bit of an early break. Here, BJ, are you good with that, buddy? We're going to take a little bit of an early break and give us a chance to whip up a couple cocktails. We're going to taste those and we're going to talk about them, friends. We are chatting here with Richard Alexander Pomus from Ghost Tequila, a New Orleans owned tequila brand. Come on back, a little Rebirth Brass Band.
Hey ladies, are you looking for wine to bring to your next girls' night out? Grab a bottle of Capitello Wines and enjoy the taste of fruit from Oregon's Willamette Valley. Capitello has a wide variety of wines to choose from. Sauvignon Blanc, Pinot Noir, dessert wine, and a Brut Sparkling that's a blend of Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. He'll even stop by next time he's in town. So grab the girls, have fun, and enjoy Capitello Wine. Cheers.
Hi, this is Jeff Craner with the award-winning Nottingham Cellars, located in Livermore Valley, California's oldest wine-growing region, producers of fine wines. Try our clean, crisp 1846 Chardonnay, an ideal pairing with New Orleans seafood, or our bold, rich Petit Sirah, excellent with steak, to our flagship Bordeaux-style blend Supremacy. You can find our wines in finer restaurants throughout New Orleans. Hope you enjoy our wines.
Hi, I'm Dickie Brennan, and I'd like to invite you to our new Black Duck Bar located on the second floor of Palace Cafe. Named after the Prohibition's infamous rum runner, the Black Duck features over 120 rums as well as an extensive tequila collection. In addition, acclaimed master French chef Rene Baggio heads up the small plates and charcuterie kitchen. Join us for happy hour Monday through Friday from 4 to 7 p.m. with half-price small plates, local draft beer, and tap wine.
My grandma and your grandma were sitting by the fire. My grandma told your grandma, I'm gonna set your flag on fire.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the NOLA Drink Show. Hey, a little bit of the Dixie Cups, Ico, Ico. Yeah, you're right. It's carnival season here, friends. Thanks for tuning into the show. We are chatting with Richard Alexander Pomez of Ghost Tequila, a New Orleans / Massachusetts-owned tequila infused with ghost pepper. It's a really interesting product, and we were talking, we did a shot, and we'll mention that it was a shot and a beer kind of product. We just did a shot. We don't need beer here. We don't need no chaser here on this show. So we did that one straight up, and then Richard is whipping up a couple of cocktails for us on the fly.
That's gonna be strong.
Hey, we like strong drinks.
Well, it's more the ginger beer. The bubbles just like went right up my nose, so that was fun.
So you get the burn of the ginger and the burn of the ghost pepper up your nose. All we need is some British mustard or Chinese mustard in there, and it'll come right through your nose.
Whoops, sorry for the sound effects.
No problem. So hey, we were talking a little bit about it, you know. It's got some spice. The spice finishes prevalently on all of this. And maybe something a little sweet is going to cut this. Some real natural things, I think, that are going to go great, which is a couple things that Richard is whipping up here are the Bloody Maria, which, of course, is a variation of the Bloody Mary. Instead of vodka, we're using tequila. But as we know, if you like your tequila a little spicy, this is going to bring that spice component to it, I think.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you want to try this?
I will have a sip.
All right.
Go ahead and give us a the straightforward one, so a little zing zang, right?
Yeah.
And,
I'm working with some cheap ingredients I grabbed from Elio's and Claiborne. So I just grabbed some zing zang, and then it's pretty straightforward. It's nothing crazy. You know, like I said when I came in here, the obvious one is a spicy margarita. So I didn't want to come in here and say let's try spicy margaritas. I figured the Bloody Mary, especially in New Orleans, run a lot of cocktail menus in bars and restaurants in New Orleans as the go-to Bloody Maria or Bloody Mary, which has been really exciting for us. Like I said, we created this thing as a shot and a beer thing, and everybody's like, no, we're putting in cocktails too. Wonderful. Great. Put it on the drink menu. So the Bloody Maria, especially being a local myself, that's near and dear to my heart. Every Saturday and Sunday morning after a long night out, Bloody Maria. And like I said, it's just right there. It's just straight zing-zang.
Okay, yeah, great. I mean, and you know, that's a nice Bloody Mary mix, as we know. So nice savory note. I'm a cocktail guy, so I like the concept of using things. I like heat in my cocktails.
Yeah.
So, we were talking about the margarita. I really like the idea of where you would take something like this and do maybe a split base where you're going to use a bit of tequila. So say maybe we use 3/4 ounce tequila, 3/4 ounce this, ounce lime juice, 1/4 ounce of agave syrup, that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's going to bring some nice heat on that finish and give it a little giddy up that it would be different than a typical margarita.
Exactly. And we've seen some places in New Orleans get really creative with it. I mean, we've seen, you know, spicy mango margarita, spicy strawberry, and, you know, I mean, everybody's doing some pretty cool stuff with it. And then there's a restaurant downtown that's doing infused coconut water margarita with Ghost, which is really cool and very refreshing. And you can drink 100 of them and not realize that there's any alcohol.
Uh-oh. We don't want to recreate that bad college tequila experience again.
No, it's not good.
No, see, but that's really interesting. So do you know how they do it? So is it just they're adding maybe 1/2 ounce of coconut milk into like a regular margarita
something
concept?
Something like that. I don't know exactly, but I had it and it was great.
Yeah, I believe
you. That's the extent of my knowledge.
Do you guys on the website, Richard, do you guys do some cocktail recipes and things like that or suggestions?
Not yet. We're in the process of redoing our website. You know, we're such a young company. Website's been up for a couple months. We took some new photography for cocktails a couple days ago, so it's coming soon.
Oh, cool.
So bear with us while we're, you know, a young company getting up off the ground.
Yeah, for sure. So, I didn't ask that question. How long have you guys been at it?
So we've been working on this from, you know, soup to nuts for about 2.5-3 years.
Okay.
But only just started selling about, we launched in Boston and New Orleans just about simultaneously about 3-4 months ago and have seen incredible growth.
Oh, so it's that new. I had no idea.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So it's a very exciting time for us. You know, Louisiana is traditionally a bad market for tequila. And according to our distributor, we're doing very well considering that. You know, having only launched about 3-4 months ago, we're already in 60 to 70 something accounts in New Orleans, which I'm told is very good.
Yeah, you know, after 3 or 4 months here.
Yeah.
Who is your distributor?
Here in New Orleans, it's Republic National, yeah. RNDC.
Okay.
Yeah, they're great guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're wonderful. And I dealt with them when I was working for Fireball too. So they're great people.
That
makes
sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think it's funny here in the market, Richard, is that I think tequila is actually, I don't want to say that it's coming around because I think it's, you know, it's had a good base here. I think, you know, we were talking about Mezcal earlier. Mezcal is enjoying a great deal of popularity in the market here. Mm-hmm. And so I think when it, you know, if you like that smoky note of a Mezcal, there is a little bit of a smoky note on this too with the heat that comes through and things like that. That kind of seems to make a lot of sense to me that it enjoys that kind of popularity given what's gone on with Mezcal. And then of course we've had, you know, places that have opened up a lot of Mexican places in fusion,
right.
You know, non-traditional Mexican places too.
Well, yeah.
And then bartenders playing with things in craft cocktail bars.
And something that's really interesting to me is, yeah, we're in Mexican restaurants and tequila bars as go-to tequila, but we're also becoming just the go-to shooter brand in service industry bars and dive bars and college bars, which is kind of exciting for me. I mean, you know, I love hanging out at Mexican restaurants, but I also love going to Aaron Rose at 4 a.m. in the morning and, you know, having a shot and a beer and hanging out with bartenders.
Yeah, for sure. So and those guys, Aaron Rose, they have it, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So what's next, man? What's this one?
So this is a Mexican mule, which is basically just a, you know, a Moscow mule with tequila. Again, this is simple stuff I just bought at the store. It's Ghost, obviously, Gosling's ginger beer, and then a little bit of lime juice in there. The cool thing that we discovered making a Mexican mule, and I'm not a great bartender, so you know, so let me know what you think. The cool thing about the ginger beer and something like a Mexican mule is that already has this effervescent, almost spicy flavor to it. Ginger beer on its own really pops, you know, and so you mix that with the heat of the ghost pepper and you get this cool, you know, almost like sizzle. You get the heat on top of that effervescent bubbly flavor, and I think it works really well together.
Yeah. Do you know the guys at or if you met the guys at Hoo Hoo's Ginger Beer or Ginger Brew, I should say.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, you should, just as a suggestion here, not to throw anybody under the bus and say, this is what you should do.
Let's
like your mom
it.
Tells
no,
you.
Cool.
Here, they're a locally based company called
then
Hoo Hoo's
I have to
Ginger
talk to
Beer.
Their local.
Yeah, yeah, they're really cool people. They were actually on the show for briefly last week.
Okay.
And so they bought out the brand Hoo Hoo's Ginger Brew, which had been around for a while. It's a collection of five bartenders that have gotten together here in town and put this brand together. And it's a really nice ginger brew. It's all fresh. They do, it's fresh lemon, fresh ginger. They juice everything here and make a really nice ginger brew.
Oh, cool.
It's only available on tap at this point.
Ah, interesting.
But it's in a lot of good places, so I'm just sort of thinking there's a connection with the local
New Orleanian. I'm all about the relationships and the connections.
Mm-hmm.
We can, you know, we were also doing a little bit, you know, it goes great with Gingeroo, old New Orleans rum product. So I'm all about pushing those connections, regardless of who's making it. If it's a local brand, let's do it.
I will put you in touch with those guys.
Wonderful, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Hey, you get, Sylvia, my lovely wife over there. Sylvia, would you like a little sip of that? Oh, you're good? Okay. All right, cool. Well, so do me a favor, Richard, then tell us, since we're talking a little bit, so we mentioned that the can be found at Aaron Rose.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing, can you get it at Helios as an off-premise site?
Yeah, we've got a good mix of places. As far as stores go, Helios, Dornax on Vets and Metairie, Bromart, and we're talking to a couple of bigger guys right now, so stay tuned for that.
Okay.
All that information will be on our website. We update a list pretty regularly. And then as far as bars and restaurants go, we've got a really good mix across the city. You know, we got a couple in the Riverbend, like Cooter Browns and Madigan's and Ale on Oak. We've got our biggest area, the most saturation, is Magazine Street. So everything from Bulldog to Down the Hatch, that whole area. You could bar hop down Magazine and hit 10, 15 bars. Rendezvous, Balcony Bar, Bulldog, Aranya, Amici. Everybody on that stretch has us. A good mix of bars in the French Quarter, like One Eye Jack's, Tequila House on Bourbon Street. Scores, our one strip club.
Gotta have one.
Aaron Rose. Some places on Frenchman, like Mason, Dragon's Den. In the Marigny, we've got OK Bar, Hi-Ho, Phoenix, Cajuns. So, you know, a couple in Metairie. So I think we've done a really good job of spreading out a little bit into the city. We're just starting to work our way into Baton Rouge and Slidell and Covington. So,
okay, getting out there.
Keep, keep an eye out on that stuff.
Well, and, see, and you mentioned so beyond the Southeast Louisiana area, and then I'm assuming it's available in the Boston area, of course, right?
Yeah, Boston, Cambridge, Amherst. You know, where we started in Boston in Southie, actually. That's where my business partner lives. And so we really wanted to hit that area hard. You know, Southie is was like the Marini Bywater in Boston like 10 years ago. It's being redeveloped very fast, and it's kind of the cool hip area to be in. So if you want to find Ghost in Boston, go to Southie.
And okay, cool. I mean, people, I think, get the podcast up there, I'm pretty sure. I'm not going to mention that you should go and have a shot and celebrate the Patriots winning the World Series, or excuse me, the Super Bowl, because I will not do
you'll
that.
You make my business partner very happy.
I'm sure. I'm sorry. I cannot make him happy.
That's if he's okay. A I don't Patriots want you to either.
Yeah, no. So then you mentioned, and we got about a minute here. So you guys are looking to go to Austin, right?
So
in San Diego, you mentioned?
We're launching in Austin in March. That's the goal. And then I want to say somewhere in April or May in San Diego. And then sky's the limit from there. You know, I want to be in Seattle and Florida, and especially Nashville is very near and dear to my heart. So that's going to be, I want to say in the next year, those are the markets we want to be in.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Well, do me a favor, Richard. Tell people where they can find you online and on social media and check that out.
So on Facebook, just search Ghost Tequila. On Instagram, it's at Ghost Tequila. On Twitter, it's at Ghost_Tequila because some guy was already squatting on that one. You know, and if you want to see a list of all the places we're in, go to ghosttequila.com. It is, it's updated weekly.
Okay. Oh, great. You guys do. And I like what you say on the website too, because you say something like, going out, and it's a list of the on-premise, you know, so the bars and places like that, you say, or staying in, where you can go buy it in the store and the off-premise places.
Yeah.
I like that. That was pretty cool.
Cool.
Was that your idea?
No, shout out to Nick, who is one of our marketing guys. Go
okay.
Nick. Yeah.
Go
he's
Nick.
He's got some good ideas.
I like that idea. That was really good. That caught my attention today when I was checking out the website. So friends, check out Ghost Tequila. Richard, thank you for being here today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, man. This is fun.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It was fun. Thanks for making some drinks. And so we are chatting here with, we chatted here with Richard Alexander Pomus of Ghost Tequila. Check him out, ghosttequila.com. You can find them in any number of fine establishments in and around the New Orleans area and in the Massachusetts, in the Boston area, soon to be in the Austin area, the San Diego area, and it sounds like down the road, the Seattle area.
World domination
with Ghost Tequila. Friends, coming back to hour number two of the Dine, Wine, and Spirit Show, NOLA Drinks Edition. I'm going to be joined by my pal Rob Savoy and Rico Olivier from the Creole String Beans. Yeah, tunes, drinks, and food, friends. Come on back.
Times are rolling at the New Orleans Drink Lab this carnival season. Here, we'll do just that. We'll teach you the history and the tradition of classic New Orleans cocktails. Then you get behind the bar and make them yourself. Masterclasses are fun, interactive, and very hands-on. Great for small groups or team-building activities. Come enjoy the ultimate cocktail experience this carnival season. You mix, muddle, and master the art of cocktail making. 343 Barone Street.
Hi, this is Jeff Craner with the award-winning Nottingham Cellars, located in Livermore Valley, California's oldest wine-growing region, producers of fine wines. Try our clean, crisp 1846 Chardonnay, an ideal pairing with New Orleans seafood, or our bold, rich Petit Sirah, excellent with steak, to our flagship Bordeaux-style blend, Supremacy. You can find our wines in finer restaurants throughout New Orleans. Hope you enjoy our wines.
With the season's beautiful weather, it's a perfect time to take a drive across Lake Pontchartrain and visit New Orleans' only local vineyard and winery, Pontchartrain Vineyards. Our tasting room is open Wednesday through Sunday from noon till 4, or by appointment. Come enjoy a flight of our wines in our classically styled French Provençal tasting room, or pack a picnic lunch and enjoy a bottle of wine on our patio overlooking the vineyard. While you're there, ask about our wine club. For more information, go to PontchartrainVineyards.com.
Hey, New Orleans, Jack Jelenko here, local wine guy. If you're listening to this show, you love good food and good wine. And a great wine with our plentiful fresh Gulf seafood is the Domaine St. Rose Coquille Blanc. A crisp, balanced white blend from the south of France. Whether it's with fresh oysters, crab, redfish, or shrimp, this Domaine St. Rose Coquille Blanc will not disappoint. And it's a great value at around $14. Domaine St. Rose Coquille Blanc. Cheers!
Tim McNally, welcome to the Dine, Wine, and Spirits Show, NOLA Drinks Edition. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody, welcome to hour number two of the NOLA Drinks Show. Brian Diaz here with you on WGSO 990 AM New Orleans. Yes, we are filtering through the remnants and the leftovers, the carnage that was left from the Ghost Tequila tasting that we just did with Richard Alexander Pomus. I appreciate him being in here. It's a very interesting tequila there, infused with ghost peppers. A lot of fun. And so we're tasting that stuff. And I'm sharing it with my guests here for the second hour, Rob Savoy and Rico Olivier from the Creole String Beans. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. I want to know where I apply for day drinking for money.
I don't know about the money part, actually.
isn't that called talk radio?
pretty much. But, I was just saying this to Richard, who was on the show before. You know, we kind of sit here, we sit around, we drink on the air, we talk about it. And, and people say, I'm going to come in and I'm going to get my three talking points in. Yeah. And I'm going to do this and it's going to be a 5-minute conversation. Like, no. We're actually going to sit here and drink for a while and talk about it.
Exactly. Yeah.
get right up on in there, Rob.
You got it.
Yeah, cool. Awesome. So, you guys, really excited to have you on.
Thank you.
Happy to be here. We are drinkers and eaters from way back.
Yeah, and so we are going to get into some of that, too, because this is a drink and food show. We're going to talk about the music, of course, and all that stuff, because we like to. I think we know here in the New Orleans area, and you guys know this much better than I, that the two worlds of drink and food and music are intertwined to the point that even trying to separate them would be a useless and futile effort.
Absolutely. Try to have a birthday party without all of the above.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Or hell, a funeral.
Yeah, right. Exactly. For that matter.
Well, you guys, so thanks so much for being here. And sure. I was saying to you, Rob, right before we went on the air, I've seen you guys for a number of years, and I stumbled on, we'll go back to this, I stumbled in on a show when you guys, first time I saw you, you're playing at the Courtyard at the historic New Orleans collection there at Royal Street, and that was the first time I saw you all live, and I had a blast.
Thank you. That's a great venue and a beautiful setting for all of the things you're describing, because I think there's a cocktail pairing there for that series, isn't it?
Yeah, they do. They had drinks in there and all that stuff. So, I'm not going to say that. Maybe that was why I wandered in.
Yeah.
And then I got to hear good music by happenstance. Maybe.
They wanted some historic old dudes up in there.
And it was great music. And then from then on, I mentioned my wife, lovely Sylvia, who's here helping out in the studio. We picked up your first couple records at that time. And another story, which I'll get past the schmaltzy stuff here, but I was mentioning this to you, Rob. I saw y'all this was at French Quarter Festival at the Mint. Mm-hmm. I want to say this, as I should probably know, this was 4 years ago, actually. This will be the fifth year coming in because I can do that math barely. I had just given my dad your second album, Shrimp Boots and Vintage Suits, which is another great record that y'all made. And I gave it to my dad, and my dad I grew up in Northern California, as did he, and we had a connection to New Orleans for a really long time. I'll make this very long story short. And my dad's a big music lover, grew up listening to oldies and doo-wop and these sorts of things. And I gave my dad your record, and he absolutely loved it. And I gave it to him when I went back to visit, and he actually passed away while we were there. All right. So this is a sad story, but he loved the record, and I got a chance to listen to him with him a couple times. And after
did it bring some joy to his life?
It brought joy to his life, and it actually meant something to me. And you guys came, and I was saying to you, Rob, I couldn't remember which of the two of you was. It was after the show, I mentioned this to you, and I got you guys to sign a copy for me, and I said, I thank you very much for the record. My dad loved it. It was actually a special memory that I shared with him right before he passed away. It's a great record, and I really do appreciate
that.
That's
really nice of you. Thanks for sharing that, because it's one of the reasons we do it, is that we were talking about it earlier, too. It's an older style of music, but yet it has a connectivity to people of all ages, and hearing things like that is really a good thing. It's one of the reasons we play music, because it makes people feel good
about
it's,
life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's old dough, but it's better dough.
There you go. Well, you guys,
and you know, I just got to say, man, for the listening audience who can't be here to see this, Marc Maron doesn't have microphones this good.
Oh, well, thank you.
No, this is quality. These thank are you. Serious microphones.
Thank you. I don't own them, so I can't take credit for that. I just talk into one of them.
Yeah.
But that's, but we'll pass that. BJ, he's here working the board. He'll take credit for it.
Oh, it's beautiful.
He produces the show.
I guess the question is, can we track in here? We get a couple of instruments in here. This would be great sound, actually.
Absolutely. Yeah, we probably could. And you may notice, too, that we do have some of the old stalwart Shure 58s. SM58s
yeah,
in here.
Sure, uh-huh.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I still have one that I inadvertently was doing the Roger Daltrey thing a long time ago, and it came out of the plug and hit the wall and has a dent and still works.
Great. Yeah, we'll come play up here, man, yeah, anytime.
Perfect.
Yeah,
perfect. Sure. Well, we'll start with you, Rick. So where did you grow up and where are you from, man?
I grew up in White Castle, mm-hmm. Louisiana, which yep. is up north.
Mm-hmm. up north in
it's
the
an
White
hour
Castle.
North yeah. of here on yeah. the river. Yeah, I'm a West Banker, bruh.
Yeah, West Banker, bruh. Right on. And then when did you migrate south?
Migrated first to Thibodeau. I lived at Fontenose. The place was buzzing.
Oh, oh man.
Ooh. No, he didn't. Can we get like a rim shot?
Yeah. Just, should we actually pull up the Hank Williams version?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, all right. Thibodeau for 5 or 6 years.
You went to college there, right?
Went to college. Harvard on the Bayou I attended. Yes. And then when my girlfriend kicked me out, I moved to New Orleans. So, yeah, and 82, I moved here.
Now, were you playing music growing up in White Castle and stuff? And
no, actually, it was so hot that no instruments would stay in tune.
Right.
So we weren't able to have musical instruments there in White Castle.
Just clap your hands.
Yeah, grunt. Stomp your foot. Stomp your foot. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So how did you then first pick up a guitar and start doing it?
In college.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, like me, like every white guy yeah. in college, right?
Old man, look at my life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To meet girls.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I know that story. Yeah. I didn't really
Yeah,
meet
one thing
many.
Led to another, you know, yeah. over the course of 30 years plus.
Well, hey, now you're in a band, so you did make it happen.
I'm not a rock star like this dude. This dude is a certified, bona fide rock star.
He is a serious right. rock star. Right, yeah, well, right, so where'd yeah. you grow up, Rob?
I grew up in Lafayette, Louisiana.
Yep.
And I did not grow up playing music. I guess I started in about, well, I played in elementary school band, doesn't count. High school, though, I started playing bass, and we started playing up, me and another buddy chose to play the upright bass because it was the biggest instrument they had. And nobody else wanted to play. It's like, okay, sure, we'll try it. It was kind of on a whim. And so that was fun. And then high school, you know, I noticed in the orchestra room, there's this amp in the corner. I'm like, what's that for? Like, oh, that's for the electric bass. I'm like, oh, I should probably try that out, right? So I borrowed it, took it home to start practicing. But then I met a buddy who was a Grateful Dead fan.
Oh,
and
yeah.
his dad had a garage, one of those kind of things, and let us practice there. So I would take the amp home to practice, and we ended up starting to play gigs at about age 16 in bars in Abbeville and Lafayette. And it was the first time girls talked to me. So I thought it was a good good series of events. And this kind of played since then.
And that makes and the electric bass is far more portable. And chicks dig it more, right?
Absolutely.
Right. And of course, most 16-year-olds are going into bar rooms.
Yes.
Right. And, yeah, playing
Southwest
music.
Louisiana. Yeah.
Well, I wasn't going to even question that because you mentioned Lafayette, and I figured people probably just figured that
yeah,
out, right?
Exactly.
I
mean, exactly. Right. It's a given. And this is, of course, predates the Roddy Romero rule, as we all know very well.
Oh, what do, I don't. I mean, you know, I know Roddy, but what's the Roddy Romero
there's
rule?
There's a Roddy Romero bill or law that is on the books that he was playing since he was probably, what, 10 or 12 yeah. or something, playing accordion in bars. And, you know, at some point somebody went, hey, wait a minute, we can't have a kid in here. And they were like, no, he's great. You got to have him. His dad's here. And so they worked with a local legislator to get a bill through that allowed people under 18 to play music as long as their parents were there.
I did not know that.
And so that's, okay. you know, 20-something years on the books. And it's the Roddy Romero bill. And I think there's a story recently about, we love Roddy too. I know you've had him in here.
Yeah, and he's a friend of the show. Absolutely.
There's a story. I think his bass player, Chris French, remembers when he was underage playing, he carried a copy of that bill in his case, and he didn't know Roddy at all at the time, but it was the way, you know, everybody knew, oh, you're 16, you better have the bill with you.
And so, yeah, and that's why Brian Rainey's mom is at all of our gigs, because
She still carries the bill just in case there's some sort of question.
He's only 15.
I was thinking you guys are cool, right?
He's
you didn't need to carry the bill for your sake. It's,
yeah, right, exactly.
No offense.
But, in case someone thinks.
Yeah. Well, you know, sort of like it reminds me of that old Santana thing when Neil Schon used to play with him and they put a fake mustache on him.
So he'd
and
be
playing bars in San Francisco.
Oh, my God. Yeah. The drummer?
The guitar player that went on to be the guitar player in Journey, Neil Schon. Yeah, they used to stick a fake mustache on the guy.
Who plays drums with Santana at Woodstock? Who is that kid? He's off the charts, man. He was like 16. Yeah, Woodstock. Yeah.
And Neil Schon, I think, came on, not that we need to go down this rabbit hole, but he came on a few years after. But he was like 16 when he started playing with Santana, like 73, crazy. Something like that. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Well, you guys, we're going to take a little break here. Is that cool?
Yeah. Can I get rock trivia for 600?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. We
Louisiana
can do that.
Rock trivia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Look, I give good radio. Okay. I'm legendary. Yeah.
We're going to come back to a little bit of rock trivia. We're going to keep it to Louisiana. All right. We're not going to do Santana. Friends, coming back to the Noah Drink Show. A little Creole String Beans. Hey, we're playing some music.
Yeah. Hotline Baby.
The good times are rolling at the New Orleans Drink Lab this carnival season. Here, we'll do just that. We'll teach you the history and the tradition of classic New Orleans cocktails. Then you get behind the bar and make them yourself. Masterclasses are fun, interactive, and very hands-on. Great for small groups or team-building activities. Come enjoy the ultimate cocktail experience this carnival season. You mix, muddle, and master the art of cocktail making. 343 Barone Street.
Looking for a bottle of wine to impress your friends and family? Miro Cellars from California's Russian River Valley is the perfect wine for any occasion. Miro Cellars searches the region for the finest grapes to make their one-of-a-kind specialty wines. Award-winning winemaker Miro Chelikov considers the particular geology and seasonal climate of each vineyard when selecting the most interesting grapes the region has to offer. Because Miro has complete freedom to make precisely the wines he loves best, the results are spectacular. Let yourself in on one of the best-kept secrets in wine today, Miro Cellars.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Noah Drink Show here on WGSO 990 AM New Orleans. Brian Diaz here with you. A little boom boom there by the Creole String Beans. String Beans boom boom on the new album Golden Crown. It's a great record, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. So much.
Absolutely. I enjoy all your records. This is the third album, right?
Correct.
Yeah. No, so how did you guys meet then connect, and how did y'all come to be as the Creole String Beans?
Rob was at a legendary photo shoot.
Yes, indeed.
Was this one of your photo shoots?
It was the first photo shoot at my current studio I had just moved into it.
25 years in?
Yeah.
So you, it was just so people know, you do photography as well.
Yeah, I'm a photographer. Uh-huh. Yeah, by trade. And it was the legendary Blue Runners.
Yeah.
When they were legendarily foul.
It was the beginning of the end.
Which they are not anymore. They're all quite wonderful, and they're in their dotage now.
There's
one of my favorite words. Look it up, okay? Dotage. But yeah, Mark Moe,
sort
I love
of
him. I love him
state
to death.
Kind of
he's,
it, yeah.
He's one of my favorite people in the world. For a few years, he wasn't after that photo shoot.
Yes.
But we kissed and made up, and wonderful guy. That's how I met Rob.
That's how Rico and I met. Rico was very involved in the music community. It was photography at the time, and I was happily playing in bands that played in New Orleans a lot, and so that's how our paths first crossed. And then, as we all know, the music world is pretty small
here.
And then we were at Fairgrounds one day.
Absolutely.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
And he asked me the silly question of, hey, man, would you ever want to play bass and sing backup on some Swamp Pop?
Oh, man, let's play some Swamp Pop, bro. Cole, I know you can play bass good, yeah.
Did you? So you basically stereotyped him because he came from Lafayette and figured he knew his Bobby Charles and all that?
No, I talk like that all the time. It's just when I'm on the radio, I don't. But most of the time, I talk like this.
But I back off of it. Yes, Rob, how about we get together and jam on some Swamp Pop?
And we were jamming upon the music at the time. Yeah, we started as a three-piece. With us two and Brian Barry play in the Evangeline Lounge.
Ooh, big time.
And and Parkway Bakery went back when they allowed music.
Oh. Didn't your sister used to work at Evangeline Lounge, yeah?
I was there Saturday night.
Yes, she did. Yeah.
So and how long ago was that, you guys?
12 years?
Yeah, 12 years. 12,
like 12, 12 years.
Pre storm, okay.
And you mentioned the Blue Runners. I wasn't going to bring it up. I didn't know that you played with them sort of briefly towards the end of the Blue Runners.
I was there at the beginning.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I played with them from 88 to 93.
It was Mark, Steve LeBlanc. Who else?
John Maloney.
John
Maloney.
Wow.
The one and only. Yeah. So John and I had been in John and I had been in a punk new wave band called The Rockin' Shapes. And when the Blue Runners first started, they were a rockabilly cover band. And they would open up for the Shapes because we played around town or whatever. And literally their bass player, the first bass player, was a repo man. So sometimes, literally at late 8:30, the gig's at 9, it's like, oh, Richard got a call. Like, what? And like, can you play? I'm like, well, I don't know these songs, but I covered for the band a few times.
This sounds like a bad Nicolas Cage film.
It worked out beautifully for me. I don't know what happened to Richard. But
Rob's done really well with that repo thing.
Absolutely. It worked really well. Exactly.
It's done really well.
I'd call
well
Richard and say, I'll take the repo gig for $300. he literally got more repo calls, and I would just cover more and more, and it just kind of grew from there. And then John Maloney, who was in the other band, said, I want to get one of those washboard things. He went and talked to the guy who made Clifton Chenier's washboard and said, you know, I want to buy one. And he did. And he was one of the first guys I knew that figured out how to play the washboard and the drum kit at the same time.
Oh, wow.
So he was doing it. Russ Broussard is really beautiful at right now.
I know, but did his whites come out really white? Or
not
were
even.
They kind of
never, never quite there. So he did that. Then eventually he stepped out and played washboard. And it was like an electric moment at Tips or whatever, where we're like, oh, we can play rockabilly and add Zydeco rhythm. Wow. And that's kind of where the Blue Runners kind of went on their trip.
Yeah.
So I did that for a while until it wasn't my trip anymore.
And then it was time to trip out. And
I was trying to get off. Yeah. We went through several incarnations and, you know, we thought we were Nirvana for a little while, and that's when they lost me.
Gotcha.
No, that was a Seattle band.
It was.
Yeah, and that was a totally different band. I mean, you weren't in that band.
I was not in that band. Never claimed.
It's too hot there to wear flannel.
But that was kind of the direction we went in for a while, and I didn't want to do that. So,
although I've seen you reaching for dollar bills underwater, and it's
good.
Stunning.
It's good. It is good.
I know it's amazing.
I'm holding my breath right now.
Yeah, right.
I know. Bro, I could do voices. Yeah, you just like all that thing they do in the morning show and all that. Boy, man, I could do that, bro, all day long.
You guys want to do a little Soundgarden cover right now while we're here or something like that? Or
I don't know any of their songs.
I don't either.
It's flannel esque.
Yes,
no doubt.
Let's do the one that goes.
Even flow. It's not that band.
Yeah, that one. That one. That's my favorite one, Rick, right there.
That's the early stuff.
Favorite one. That's the real early stuff.
I told you don't give them no alcohol, bro. What I told you.
Three sips, you're done.
So now you guys so you formed up here in New Orleans then?
In New Orleans, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Yep. And played for a while as a three-piece. And then Brian Reaney was, I think, the electric moment for us.
Yeah.
You saw him loading out of his car, who's down the street from your house.
He lives two doors down.
Mm-hmm.
Where there was laughing and drinking and having a party. And
so that just kind of seemed to fit then?
Bada boom. You guys missed that one?
He is. Yeah.
Come on, radio fans. Rock trivia for 200. My God.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Two doors down, he was laughing and drinking and having a party. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
we get it.
But yeah, we get it. Just shut up.
So how about
that? Was sort of the same kind of thing, like I didn't ask about him being underage playing in Lafayette.
Right. Just let it go, man. Let it go.
So speaking of Family Gras,
Oh, okay, nice segue. Way to go, Rob. So I'm going to take it that you all are playing at Family Gras coming up there in Metri.
We are kicking off Family Gras this year on Friday, February 17th. Yep, the Friday evening, 5:30. We'll kick it off. We're playing with two legendary bands, the Cowsills.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
And the Association.
The Association.
Absolutely.
Wow. I didn't know they were still associated.
They are still associated. According to Susan, because we all know Susan very well.
Yeah.
She's known the Association for decades, of course. And she said they're, you know, in their 70s and they're still rocking and everything, but they're like rascally, and they'll decide like 2 hours before the show, let's all dress like ship captains or whatever is in their brain. And they're going to show up in some bizarre caricature outfit.
The Association, man. At the time, like, I was digging them when I was like 9, 10, 11.
Mm-hmm.
And they now are so hip.
They're in their prime.
I didn't realize.
Come back around.
How hip it was.
Oh, you guys want to take
a commercial?
Yeah, we got to do the commercial thing. So, friends, we're chatting with Rob and Rico from the Creole String Beans. We're getting a history lesson here in music. We're going to come back, do more music trivia. Come on back.
Hi, this is Kevin Richards with Sazerac Rye Whiskey. In 2008, the Louisiana legislature made the Sazerac cocktail the official cocktail of New Orleans, affirming what New Orleanians had known for over 150 years. You just can't beat a good Sazerac. The Sazerac cocktail is the quintessential New Orleans drink, perfect for celebrating the arrival of fall festivals, football season, or just being proud to be a New Orleanian. For the official recipe, visit www.sazerac.com.
This is Christopher Icaza, general manager of Broussard's Restaurant, 819 Conti Street in the beautiful Vaucouleurs. We encourage you to come join us this fall and experience the renovation of one of the French Quarter's Grand Dames. Join us in our beautifully renovated Napoleon Dining Room. Come see our friend Paul Gustings at the beautiful Empire Bar. Experience one of the French Quarter's loveliest courtyards. That's Broussard's Restaurant, 819 Conti Street. Open 7 nights a week and every Sunday for brunch.
Hi, this is Jeff Craner with the award-winning Nottingham Cellars, located in Livermore Valley, California's oldest wine-growing region. Producers of fine wines. Try our clean, crisp 1846 Chardonnay, an ideal pairing with New Orleans seafood. Or our bold, rich Petit Sirah, excellent with steak. To our flagship Bordeaux-style blend supremacy. You can find our wines in finer restaurants throughout New Orleans. Hope you enjoy our wines.
Hey, New Orleans, Jack Jelenko here, local wine guy. Want a great alternative to over-oak Chardonnay? Try Yamhill Valley Vineyards Pinot Blanc, a wonderfully balanced white wine from the oldest family estate in McMinnville, Oregon, in the Willamette Valley. It's round and ripe like a Chardonnay, but without the heavy oak and sweetness of big commercial corporate Chardonnays. Yamhill Valley Vineyard Pinot Blanc, a great value under $20. Ask for it wherever you buy wine. Cheers.
The French Market is open daily with pop-up fresh markets on Wednesdays and Saturdays. The Crescent City Farmers Market is at the French Market each Wednesday, rain or shine, from 2 to 6 p.m. On Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., find new and different vendors offering everything from fresh bagels to fresh herbs. Vendors change weekly depending on weather and seasons, so check them out often. Visit frenchmarket.org for a list of farmers market vendors, chef demonstrations, live music, and special events.
Are you looking for the best buns? Well, we have them at Bayou Burger in the Quarter. Wait till you bite into one of our acclaimed burgers like the Cowboy Burger, Tiebreaker Shrimp Burger, the world-famous Gator Burger, or you can build your own with endless combinations. It's all fresh meat, never ever frozen. Everywhere you look, there's big screen TVs where you'll never miss a minute of the action. Boasting the largest balcony dining in the French Quarter, you can watch all the action pass you by on the street. Find the best burgers in action at Bayou Burger. 501 Bourbon at St. Louis for the best buns on bourbon. It's Bayou Burger, baby.
With the season's beautiful weather, it's a perfect time to take a drive across Lake Pontchartrain and visit New Orleans' only local vineyard and winery, Pontchartrain Vineyards. Our tasting room is open Wednesday through Sunday from noon till 4, or by appointment. Come enjoy a flight of our wines in our classically styled French Provençal tasting room, or pack a picnic lunch and enjoy a bottle of wine on our patio overlooking the vineyard. While you're there, ask about our wine club. For more information, go to PontchartrainVineyards.com.
Locally inspired and nationally recognized, Dickie Brennan Steakhouse is located in the French Quarter. Dickie Brennan Steakhouse serves USDA prime beef, Gulf seafood, and innovative Creole dishes. Come experience why Maxim Magazine and Playboy named it among the nation's top steakhouses. Running short on time? The full menu is available in the bar for quicker and more casual dining. Dickie Brennan's 5 After 5 Happy Hour Special is back. Dickie Brennan Steakhouse is located in the French Quarter at 716 Iberville.
I remember real well the first time I heard the story about Pandora's box and the locks we should never break. But I took a wrong turn at the fork on the road to glory. Now I can't rewind the time for another take. If I'd only known then what I know now, I wouldn't.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Noel Drink Show, WGSO 990 AM New Orleans. Brian Diaz. We're chatting here with Rob and Rico from the Creole String Beans. And I want to mention that this segment, we call this our Soul Skillet segment. It's kind of a new thing. Yeah, it's kind of a cheesy name. If you guys got a better idea, I'm up for it.
I'm into bacon fat, bro. Yeah, in any form.
Anything cooked in bacon fat is great. But what I need to mention with Soul Skillet is that we have kind of partnered up with our good friends there at Louisiana Music Factory, Barry and them.
Yes.
421 Frenchman Street. I would argue the finest music and record store on the planet.
Absolutely.
They kind of, you know, they are the vanguard. They are keeping the torch alive of Southeast Louisiana music, keeping the record store concept alive. They do live in-store performances. As a matter of fact, they got one coming up on Saturday, Lost Bayou Ramblers at 2 o'clock, which is going to be a lot of fun. Go check them out. These guys with the Creole String Beans, you can go buy their music in Louisiana Music Factory. Mm-hmm. Get a real CD, real hard copy. They do a lot of vinyl in there, all that. So go check it out. 421 Frenchman Street, our good friends there, Louisiana Music Factory, and they are our partners. And we're going to do this moving forward on a regular basis. Have some folks to play some music and like to talk about food and drink. Come on into the show. And hey, here you go. So we're doing this with Creole String Beans. Guys, thanks for being here today.
Happy to be here. Give it up for Barry.
Yeah, give it up for Barry up there at Louisiana Music Factory. We really appreciate what they do. And they're a good operation. And all your records, I know, are there, right?
Absolutely.
And I still call it a record. I'm old enough to call it a record.
I still call it a record. Absolutely.
Well, and that is a record store.
To get a little, bring a little history, the guy that Barry started Louisiana Music Factory with was Jerry Brock. And Jerry Brock and Walter Brock are the two guys that started WWOZ when it was up above Tipitina's.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, we're talking late 70s.
Yep.
So
they had the vision.
Plus Barry's. Didn't Barry's people have a record store on St. Charles Avenue?
Oh, did he? I don't know. Okay.
I think they did. Yeah. So,
let's call Barry.
Yeah, those guys are deep, 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 man.
They know, like you said, man, when you walk in there and you ask a question, they know it's going to, you know, Barry's pulled in all those people that used to work at Tower all those places that have gone out of business and given them a job. And these guys have an incredible depth of knowledge of the music of the region and beyond.
Yep.
And I mean, it's sort of like, I'll say, oh, I heard this on OZ. Who is it? And they're like, describe it, give a little description. Yep. They know who we're talking about.
Bring you right to the rack.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, you guys, so we talked a little bit, you know, so we're talking about music and the history here. You guys got a great new record out called Golden Crown. And we know that this is technically, maybe hard to believe, a food and drink show. we are drinking.
Drinking part is done.
The drinking part is done, and it continues to go on. You guys both, you know, I mean, I'm going to say, I don't want to stereotype because you grew up in Lafayette, but you guys have a strong connection, in the lyrics even, you guys have a strong connection to food and drink stuff, right?
Absolutely. We're named after food.
You are named, your press kit includes a Ziploc bag of string beans.
That's correct.
That is actual food. That is what that was. I opened that up.
I was wondering about that.
And I'm like, are these wax? No, those were real string beans. I actually ate them. It kept me alive one day.
Green stuff in a bag. Dried up real good.
My wife refused to cook for me that day, so you guys kept me alive with your press kit one day.
That's what we are. Yeah, man. We got some serious oral fixations up in this band, bro.
So let's talk about that a little bit, you guys. So tell a little bit, you know. I mean, I know it's sort of an obvious question being from around this part of the world, but.
That, yes, we do cook.
And, yeah, you cook. So.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about that. And you drink, right? Yeah. So we do that, too.
It's a beautiful thing in Cajun culture. It's not unusual for the man to do a lot of cooking.
The bulk of the cooking in the house.
It's not unusual at all. So, yeah, I think that's just really weird and cool.
It's great.
You know, I was thinking about it, you know, crawfish. Everybody loves crawfish and eat, you know, it every Friday, whatever.
But I mean, growing up, it wasn't a novelty. It was we didn't go out for crawfish. You went and caught crawfish and cooked it.
Yeah.
So the buying crawfish was the novelty. And now it's thankfully commonplace and you can get it anywhere or whatever. But just as that's evolved, that food has become more and more part of what you do day to day. Besides, you got to eat, obviously, but making it part of the celebration.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just so much great, like, you know, the butchers always had beef melt. I don't really know what beef melt, what part of the cow it is.
But it is good.
The hot part. Yeah,
that seems like a livery kind of.
It's some gland, I'm sure.
It's a gland of some. It's cheap.
But
it's
the crab.
It's called beef melt.
Yeah.
And you go get your, you know, 15 pounds of beef melt. And you're
almost nothing.
Two dozen nets. And you go out on the crawfish. Side of the road and catch a whole bunch of crawfish.
Yeah.
And or crabs.
Well, you know, people ask me, my wife obviously grew up here. I shouldn't say obviously. My wife grew up here and I grew up in Northern California. But when people, when they come to visit, they'll say, you know, where should we go to get eat? Good like Creole food or, you know, go get, and I sometimes struggle with the question. I mean, I know there's a lot of good places, but I'm thinking, my family's kitchen.
Yeah, so-and-so's house.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
No, that's right.
That's why, I mean, I love, one of my favorite chefs in town is Donald Link, right? And I love his restaurants. Sure. And he's from Crowley or Rain area, and he opened a restaurant in Lafayette, and everybody's excited. It's great. It's a beautiful setting on the Vermilion River and, you know, dynamite food. A little bit higher price point, but people were fine with it. But it didn't make it because half of the thing was, he doesn't make it like my grandma. Oh, my wife can make that better. Or, you know, and you know, it kind of, it was, I think, a big lesson. It was great food, but doesn't matter because somebody next door probably does it.
Yeah.
It's good.
Exactly. I mean, right. Look at Poupart's in Lafayette. Yeah, right.
Right.
You know, that's insane, man. That's
true French bakery.
It's a bakery that has gumbo and jambalaya and potato salad, etouffee.
Right.
When you can go to a gas station and get better food than somebody over here in the CBD Boudin. In New Orleans.
Yeah, Boudin, I mean, come on.
Cracklins,
you know,
and all that. Absolutely.
I know. We are freaks for food, man. We really are. And it's because we grow up eating really good food. And so you go to another part of the country and you're just like, wait, this food has no flavor.
Right.
What's wrong here?
We're spoiled.
Yeah, we spoiled.
Now, did you all both grow up in a household where both mom and dad cooked?
My household, my mom cooked.
Okay. Yeah, my mom cooked too. Yeah.
Okay.
And she didn't teach me how to cook.
No, she just did.
Yeah, but grew up eating really good food. So it's like, you know, that sets the RAM or whatever in your taste buds, the part that doesn't change like software.
Yeah, right. That's the ROM, I think.
Yeah,
right?
the ROM, right. Your hardware is like, okay, wired. Here's how food is supposed to taste. And so, you judge everything based on that.
Now, you guys cook both yourselves. Is this something where, you're around it, you grow up around it, and is this something that you kind of discovered at a certain point later in life that you just sort of got into it and wanted to do?
Well, I kind of always did, but I mean, early college years, it was a matter of survival. You're home, you don't have any food, I mean, you don't have any money, so you have to figure out, and you're like, oh, wait, my mom fed four kids, and we didn't have any money, so what did she, she made a bunch of spaghetti, she made crawfish etouffee, she made gumbo, items that small amount of content feed a lot of people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And out of necessity, and then, you know, then you start to experiment, and then once you can afford to buy, you know, 2 days worth of groceries, all bets are off. You know?
Yeah. I was fortunate that I had a girlfriend in college who explained to me the Trinity idea. You know, your onions, your bell pepper, your celery, you can add some garlic and parsley. Right. Yeah, I could see your gears were turning there, man. I mean, it was food. We're talking food.
We're talking
here,
food. Okay. I was like, okay, where's this going to go? All right.
Oh, you knew this.
and basically, yeah, I was like, okay, yeah, that's how my mom did it, you know. Oh, wait, now we're getting even weirder. I'm sorry.
No, but
food.
We're talking about food.
Growing up, my mom did not cook with garlic. She was straight up Cajun. It was, you know, it was celery and onions and stuff you had around. It wasn't until I moved to New Orleans that I discovered, oh, you can put garlic in everything. Oh, that changes. That flips the script.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Yeah. And you know, it's an interesting food scene here too, as I think we know, versus say Lafayette and Cajun
South
country.
West
and
my
wife makes a mean red gravy, and it's not called red sauce. Tomato sauce.
Absolutely.
It's called red gravy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cheers. Cheers to that.
Yeah.
We're toasting here to red gravy. All right. There we go, everybody.
Did I miss the double entendre?
Yeah. No.
Triple at this point.
Yeah. It's going downhill real quick. Oh, so cool.
But, you know, the other thing that's kind of like evolved in the last I don't know how many years, is cooking outside. We've always cooked outside. You have a burner, you yeah. grill, whatever. But now, you know, the tailgating thing, whatever, is expanded, and everybody tries to outdo each other, whatever. But there's something about cooking and eating your food outside.
Yes. Yeah, and Lafayette, my God, they, like, do it, man.
Yeah, man.
I had a job shooting a Mark Broussard album cover 3 years ago, four years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, I went to, they had this, not wasn't only a boucherie, it was, like, a whole thing that involved all these different foods all day long with 15 amazing musicians. And the day I got back from Lafayette, I went out and bought my big 10-gallon black.
I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Was this the Runaway Boucherie event, maybe? Was that what?
It was at a guy named Tony Davern's house in Sunset, Louisiana.
Okay.
And it was huge, and it was, you know, 1,000 kids and old people, and it was just like what life should be.
But yet some kid knew how to butcher the ribs, and one kid knew how to make the sausage, and, you know.
Yeah. There's a real neat, and the reason why I asked that, there's a real neat event that goes on once a year out there, just north of Lafayette, and it's called Runaway Boucherie, huh? And it's a bunch of chefs that put that on. This went on in early November, and the reason why I bring it up is because your boy, Derek, mm-hmm. who is your saxophone player, yep. was actually he out was there at the yep. event. Yeah, right. and I'd known Derek before,
sure.
but hung out with Derek out there, and it was really fun because it brings in, you know, Lost Bayou Ramblers played, you have all these great chefs out there, food butchering demos, all this stuff. It's a beautiful connection to food.
By the way, we want in.
Next year.
We would love to be in
that. I mentioned Lash Pa, but, you know, Toby yeah. Rodriguez and Joe Verdrine, and it's just all these guys.
That's, yeah, Toby.
Lucius Fontenot, yeah. who are just foodies, like deep Cajun, for real.
In addition to their profession.
Yes. yes.
Right. And it's actually at Toby's place, right? The house that Toby rents is where this thing goes on.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. yeah
and sure. it was really cool. And, you know, Roddy, our friend Roddy Romero, sure. was involved in putting it on.
Yeah,
and,
sure. Roddy was at this thing that I went to, and he was in there helping with the pigs and all. Yeah,
Roddy can boil some cabbage, man. Roddy can boil some cabbage.
Nice.
Yeah.
Didn't he do that song, Boil That Cabbage Down? No.
No, it was not.
No More Alcohol.
Not his hit.
That was one of the early records. He recorded that when he was like 10, right?
Right. Yeah. It was before they passed
in a bar.
The
in a bar. Live recording.
While cooking.
Friends, we're going to take a little break here on the Noel Drink Show. We're chatting with Rob and Rico from the Creole String Beans. We're going to talk a little bit more about music, a little bit more about food, a little bit more about drink here in the last segment. Come on back.
New dance back a Jack Bay. Call it the funky spillway. Kick left, step a three and four. Kick right and I do it some more. Out west and Karen Crow. They call it doing the Zydeco. Chompity Bay, all doing the funky spillway. Get down, Atchalaya.
Are you tired of drinking the same wines? Switch it up. Try the Kreutz Family Cellars wine. Kreutz Family Cellars is a small, family-owned winery in Sonoma County that makes wines from some of the most prized vineyards throughout Northern California. Each bottle of Kreutz Family Cellars wines has a magnolia on the label. The magnolia is a symbol of the family's southern roots and their way of life. True, honest, and fun. Look for the magnolia and pick up a bottle of Kreutz Family Cellars wines today.
Time for lunch? We've got you covered at Sobu.
Chef Juan Carlos whipped up special two-course lunches that start at $14.
Try our Creole Cuban sandwich and pair it with a bowl of our gumbo.
Of course, Sobu's full menu is also available.
And don't forget Sobu's version of Commander's Palace 25-cent martinis.
Available Monday through Friday, 11:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m.
Join us at Sobu for our speedy lunch at 310 Charter Street in the Quarter.
Complimentary parking next door at the W Hotel.
Sobu, life is meant to be lived, not endured.
Savory crab meat cheesecake and decadent white chocolate bread pudding are Palace Cafe originals. For nearly 26 years, Palace Cafe has been serving award-winning cuisine in the historic Warline Music Building. Located on Canal Street at the edge of the French Quarter, Palace Cafe is open 7 days a week for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and open for jazz brunch on the weekends. Make sure to try one of their refined classic cocktails or a glass of wine from their nationally recognized wine list. Palace Cafe is located at 605 Canal Street.
All right, everybody, a little Knock Me Down by the Creole String Beans there from album number 2, Shrimp Boots and Vintage Suits. That's a hell of a record, gentlemen, by the way, as well.
Thank you much.
Yeah, that one won an award, brah.
Which award, brah, did that one win?
It was
Offbeat.
It wasn't the Kenner Honorary Awards, brah, was it?
Or? Not.
No.
A little bigger. Okay.
It was the
Roots Rock.
Roots Rock album of the year. And they did Album Man, which we really liked.
Yeah, oh, cool.
Yeah, it's very great. It's great, man, because it's chosen by people. The people choose that.
There you go. And a good old Offbeat magazine.
Absolutely.
Right above our good friend there, Barry, at Louisiana Music Factory. So I'm getting that in, 421 Frenchman Street. Go check them out. Soul Skillet here with these guys from the Creole String Band.
Talk about keeping New Orleans and Louisiana music alive. Offbeat Magazine. Yep. Jan, Joseph.
Yeah.
And Torchbearers.
Yeah, absolutely. And
Joseph.
The show.
And Jan.
And the little doggy.
A wonderful job.
And they got the little doggy, too.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, so you can go check them out. Go to 421 Frenchman. Check out those guys at Louisiana Music Factory. Walk upstairs and hassle the people at Offbeat. Yeah. Tell them that the new Creole String Beans record, Golden Crown, should win an award.
Should be on the cover?
we're going to the well one too many times.
No. Also honored. We were nominated this year. It was great for an Offbeat Award this year, which is really great company to be involved in.
Yeah, that's cool.
Absolutely.
And how long has the new record been out, guys? About 3 months? 4 months? A little longer?
Sure. 3 months.
Something like that?
Sure.
Sure. 3 months.
3 months.
Let me put a number in your mouth.
Exactly.
For you,
right? Exactly.
So we'll say we're going to go with
about
3 months.
3 months. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, but you guys didn't know that.
Can I get 3 months for 600?
3 months.
Yeah, exactly.
3 months since the gig.
I should notice I hold a copyright on the record. You actually didn't know that, but I'm the one to put it out.
Welcome to my musical career.
My musical career for 1,000.
Somebody owns what?
And do you guys having good? Enjoying the success
absolutely
with the record and
having
good feedback. I know it's gotten good feedback.
It has good critical reviews, and people who have it are enjoying it. We want more people to have it, of course. But, you know, like the bigger picture we talked about, it's like publish or perish. You got to get something out every now and again and remind people, hey, we're still here. And so it's been a good effort for that. And playing the gigs like the Historic Collection, the Family Gras, and local
French
festivals.
Quarter Fest,
like,
right?
Yeah. You know, it's like that's where it's at, because that gets people together. It gets people of all ages out. And guess what? They're eating and drinking.
Yeah, and we like that.
And also, you know, we're not a band that's touring for 6 months out the year. Like a lot of professional bands, are they're on the road for a, you know, good part of the year.
Do
and
you guys
constantly?
Do you get out of town once in a while? Do you guys hit the road a little bit here and there, or mostly here?
Oh, man, we travel, bro. Like, we go a long way to Lafayette.
Oh, to the other side of the country.
We were there. We were there recently. We went to Los Angeles once.
Okay.
We did. We went on an airplane and everything.
And it was like 30 degrees in L.A. It was 30 degrees. Yeah. It was like the coldest it had been in like 90 years.
That's amazing. I was thinking that was back in the previous Ice Age. But
It was a freak day in L.A. Their problem was their club is located next to a medicinal marijuana store.
A dispensary.
That was the problem.
That was the problem.
Oh, okay.
That's a whole fascinating
story. Yeah, I was wondering whose problem
show
that actually
That's
is.
That's a fascinating story. We don't have time to relate that story, but
this is not a family show.
It's
just
part
by
of the
way,
band.
We're talking about drinking and stuff.
The band lore. Yeah, is that LA trip, to West Hollywood.
All the way to LA.
That one, yeah. That was great. Well, we had a good affiliation with the good people at Threadhead Records.
Yeah.
They brought us out there, and it was really cool. And those people talk about support music worldwide.
It's a
put
cool
their
model,
money
huh?
where
they
mouth
do.
Is, man.
Yeah, and they'll front the cost of the record, right? And then you get reimbursed through that.
You pay it back, and you also give a percentage to a local charity, which is all really great.
Yeah.
But the bigger thing is it's a conglomeration of music lovers who live all over the world, and that's what they share in common is helping to perpetuate and to keep music alive and to keep musicians get money into musicians' pockets. What a concept.
Yeah, and it started right after Katrina.
Yep.
When Paul, you know, he wanted to make a record, and they were like, dude, we can hook you, we can do this, you know. Man, so they hooked him up, and that led, one thing led to another.
Yeah,
and really wonderful people.
Yeah, I don't know how big the catalog is. It's probably 20, 30 records by now.
Yeah. Yeah,
and now they have a foundation. They help,
Lots of Germans are members of Threadhead. So, I mean, they've gone that far.
They have.
Well, and look at the records they've done, man. Yeah.
John Boutte.
How to Be a Cannonball by Alex McMurray. These are some of the greatest New Orleans records ever done.
Yeah, that's right.
Shrimp Boots and Vintage Suits.
Yeah, there you go. I love that record. Okay. Are you guys doing French Quarter Festival this year?
We are. We're going to be there on Sunday, same spot at the Mint.
At the Mint?
Afternoon, 2 o'clock.
It's got the Esplanade and the Shade stage. That's the one. You guys have been. Yeah.
And God bless them. A couple of years ago, they said, hey, man, you guys want to move to the river or to the quarter? We're like, nah, we'll stay in the shade. Thank you so much.
I like that stage.
It's
great.
Man,
I like
that stage. It's perfect. Yep. It's so perfect. And the crowds get bigger every year.
Yep.
And watch this year, nobody's going to show up.
When you, know, you get people sitting out in the dirt in the neutral ground so they can bring their own booze. I'm not supposed to advocate that. French Quarter Festival isn't sponsoring me. I can advocate that. You sit right outside the fence with your own booze.
Yeah. Well, and we play in the afternoon, so it's shady.
Yeah.
And one year it rained. We wore shrimp boots.
You know what you can see from the stage? Louisiana Music Factory.
You can see Louisiana Music Factory from the stage.
You sure can. It's from that stage.
I dig that. That's cool. And you guys, and I'll mention this too, just because I have a slight affiliation. We've got about a minute left. You guys are playing Ponchatrain Vineyards in the fall at the Jazz and the Vine series.
We need to get with your boy to lock down the date, but yes, it's going
to
happen.
The winery is not organized enough to have the dates figured out yet, but we'll figure that out.
You're playing there?
Yeah.
You're playing there.
Oh,
man.
My God. Yeah. My wife has been bugging me. When are y'all going to play at the Ponchatrain Vineyards? Man.
Next fall,
this
man. Fall.
So wait, I didn't know this.
Fall of 17.
It is happening.
Yep. Oh, happy days are here again
there you
at
go.
My house.
And the drinking will continue, gentlemen, into the fall.
Can I thank you enough, Brian?
Absolutely. Hey, real quick, website.
CreoleStringBeans.com and then Facebook with a slash and the Creole String Beans.
And okay, beautiful. And you can find that stuff there online. You can find the music online, but go check out Louisiana Music Factory.
Barry Smith.
Frenchman Street.
Shout
Barry
out.
Smith. There we go. Rob, Rico, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks,
appreciate it. Absolutely. It was a lot of fun. Friends, Creole String Beans, go check them out. Get online, check them out, see them live, buy their records. Hey, come on back next week. We're going to have a good old time. I don't know what the show's going to be about. I'll figure it out then. And until then, cheers, y'all.
Cheers. Nice.